Emperor of the Eight Islands, The Tale of Shikanoko, Book 1, by Leon Hearn, read by Neil Shah. Frail indeed must be cross threads of frost, and drawn threads fashioned of dewdrops, for brocades in the mountains are woven only to scatter. From Kokin Wakashu, the first imperial anthology of Japanese poetry, translated by Helen Craig McCullough. 1. Kazumaru.
Did you see what happened? Where is your father?
Two men were standing above him, their shapes dark against the evening sky. One was his uncle, Sademasa, the other, Nobuto, whom he didn't like. Kazumaru said,
"We heard a funny noise,"
and he mimed placing stones on a board.
"Clack, clack, clack! Father told me to wait here."
The man had come upon the 7-year-old hidden in the long grass, in the sort of form deer stamp out for their fawns. The horses had nearly stepped on him. When his uncle lifted him up, the grass had printed deep lines on his cheek. He must have been there for hours.
"Who brings a child on a scouting mission?"
Nobuto said quietly.
"He can't be separated from him."
"I've never seen a father so besotted."
"Or a child so spoiled,"
Sademasa replied.
"If he were mine."
Kazumaru did not like their tone. He sensed their mockery. He said nothing, but resolved to tell his father when he saw him.
"Any sign of his horse?"
Sademasa asked Nobuto. The older man looked toward the trees.
"The tracks lead up there."
A small group of stunted trees clung to the side of the volcanic mountain. Some were dying, some already stumps. The air smelled of sulfur, and steam hissed from vents in the ground. The men went warily forward, their bows in their hands. Kazumaru followed them.
"Cursed-looking place,"
Nobuto said. The larger tree stumps were crisscrossed with faint lines. A few black stones, a handful of white shells, were scattered on the ground.
"Something bled here."
Nobuto pointed at a splash on a pale rock. He crouched and touched it with his finger.
"Still wet."
The blood was dark, almost purple.
"Is it his?"
Sademasa whispered.
"Doesn't look human to me,"
Nobuto replied. He sniffed his finger.
"Doesn't smell human, either."
He wiped his hand on the rock and stood, looked around, then suddenly shouted,
"Lord Shigetomo! Where are you?"
You,
came back the echo from the mountain, and behind the echo another sound, like a flock of birds beating their wings. Kazumaru looked up as the flock passed overhead. He saw it was made up of strange-looking beings, with wings and beaks and talons like birds, but wearing clothes of a sort, red jackets, blue leggings. They looked down on him and pointed and laughed. One of them brandished a sword in one hand, a bow in the other.
"Those are his weapons,"
Nobuto cried.
"That is Ameyumi."
"Then Shigetomo is dead,"
Sademasa said.
"He would never have surrendered the bow alive."
Afterward, Kazumaru was not sure what he remembered and what he had dreamed. His father and his clever, witty mother often played go in the long, snowbound winters at Kumayama. He had grown up with their sounds, the quiet clack of stones on the boards, the rattle in the wooden bowls. That day he and his father heard them together. They had ridden far ahead of the others. His father always liked to be in the lead, and the black horse was strong and eager. It had been a present from Lord Kiyoyori, to whom the family were vassals, and on whose orders they had ridden so far north. His father reined in the horse, dismounted, and lifted him down. The horse began to graze. They walked through the long grass and almost stepped on the fawn, lying in its form. He saw its dark eyes, its delicate mouth, and then it was on its feet and leaping away. He knew the other men would have killed it had they been there, but his father laughed and let it go.
"Not worth Ameyumi's time," he said.
Ameyumi was the name of